the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with the very good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, we continue to talk about the West Indies squad that was selected for the T20 World Cup. In fact, we had a very special program a couple of days ago. In fact, when that selection came through on Thursday, we were bang on target in terms of ensuring that you got some reaction. We're going to continue to do that on Mason and Guest this evening, and we look forward to your contributions a little bit later on. 441790. Congratulations to the West Indies women. Oh, well done to you there in Pakistan. And already we've got Hayley Matthews, the captain, the ambassador, already online. We're going to be celebrating her from there and from far. And we also want to have some discussion about what's happening as far as cricket generally is concerned. And note with interest that there's some disquiet in the Barbados Cricket Association. I saw a release, but of course, You know, to have a release, of course, I expect that. But the question is, are these things true? And I hope that we can get some reaction from our friends at the Barbados Cricket Association later on the show. But without any further ado, let me say hello to all of the wonderful people who make this program up. Of course, we've got Dr. Andrew Ford, fellow Wallace is as usual there. And we've got George Ferris, the big fast bowler, I think. Nowadays, had he been playing, he would have made the West Indies team very, very easily. He was pretty sharp indeed. Dave Smooth was telling me that he had some good battles against good old George Ferris. And it's really good to have you on the show. And Hayley Matthews is with us as well. First of all, let me say hello to you, Hayley. How are you this evening? Your smile is as broad as Pakistan.
Hey, Andrew, I'm good, thanks. And thanks for having me on your show again.
Right, okay. Let's congratulate you. Pakistan was brilliant. Saw a story in Barbados today where you've gotten some wonderful honours. How do you feel, Hayley? I mean, we were so happy with your performance, you know, in Pakistan. We watched you, and the team did very well. So let's recount Pakistan first of all.
Yeah, it was a pretty good series for us as a team. Obviously, going down there, winning both the ODI and the T20 series, I think the way in which we did it as well, winning 7-0 to the 8 games, definitely gives us that extra boost of confidence, I think, as we were able to be dominant in majority of the games. And yeah, then I think for myself, just, I guess, could say pleased with the results I would have had this series. I think, especially for me in the 50-over format, being able to bat long periods of score and probably get over that hurdle of scoring hundreds consistently. So, I guess I would say a good start to 2024, and hopefully we can continue to be playing this way for the rest of the year.
Mm. Just before I bring in Dr. Ford and Philo Wallace, what I note about the team, it looked sharper, very much sharper in the field. Some good catches were taken. You were spot on. I thought you were brilliant in terms of your tactics. And it's good to see a West Indies team looking very sharp in the field. And what about the general conditions in Pakistan? Were they good?
They were fairly all right. I think the team that bat first, the Lloyd team, probably had the better half of the wicket to bat on. Mm-hmm. I don't think either side played badly. I just think that first inning was a bit more batter friendly, I think, especially in the ODIs where the sun was really, really hot. throughout the day. And then I think, look, coming on to the girls, I think everyone's in a really good frame of mind. Everyone's been in a professional setup for a while now. So I think speaking about the fielding throughout that series, the girls definitely were out there looking a lot more agile. We had a whole fielding system in place, players getting points for certain stuff, which I think helped motivate a lot of the girls just to have that competition within the team as well, which we obviously trying to create.
I see. Dr. Ford, good evening to you, sir. Your favorite guest is on the show. Haley.
Yeah, definitely. Good afternoon to the panelists and the listeners. And congratulations, Haley. A wonderful performance, leading from the front, as you have done in the recent past. And congratulations on your accolades from the ICC. You are a formidable player in the women's game. How proud are you of dominating this series? Because I'm not sure what West Indian fans expected before you left. But do you think that you guys did better than the average fan believed you would? Or do you think you're just keeping up with expectations?
I think that depends on how much the average fan watching cricket. one thing I would say is that probably over the last 2 years or so, to my memory, I can't remember losing a single game ranked to any T20 team below us. So I think we have been maintaining these standards for quite some time now, and I think the records will show over the last 2 years or so with it. And I think this game actually being the first one that we lost against a team right lower than us in a very long time.
Yeah, well, definitely. Let's just look at, I know it's a team sport, but let's look at your batting. It's really come on the last 12 months or so. What do you attribute to being so, making all those impact scores for the team and being so important in the batting lineup and in the bowling as well?
I think one thing for sure is probably the experience that I've been able to have. One thing I have really developed recently, and I must attribute a lot of it to my captaincy, is, I guess, taking responsibility and being able to bat really long throughout innings. I think the experience from playing in leagues around the world has helped me to learn how to build an innings and how to spend time at the crease, and I think how to use that time as well while going about batting. So, I think for me that's probably the biggest thing at this moment.
All of the players, unfortunately, don't have the opportunity to play in leagues. How do you propose we try to allow some of the other girls who don't get that opportunity to develop and to become stronger in all aspects of their game?
I think there are going to be a lot more leagues within the women's game now, and hopefully we could see some of our girls featuring in them in times to come. But I think for right now, the camps, and I think the experiences that we're getting at the camps are helping a bit more. I know we're also playing so much more international cricket. We just came off a series, 3 ODIs and 5 T20 games, which gives the girls a lot of practice. And then back within our camps, we've really been experimenting. We're playing T10 cricket as well, getting the girls into a mode of scoring regularly, being able to score quickly. And kind of alter the old-fashioned way of cricket. I don't want to put it as old-fashioned because I still believe there's a massive aspect of batsmanship within the game. But obviously this step in having the girls go out now and learn how to do that quickly would definitely help with, I think, their overall building of innings, just being able to get off the mark adequately and quickly as well.
Before I give way to Philo and the others, I had listened to our Prime Minister speak about the possibility of having mixed teams with men and women, something that we haven't really seen in the modern game. How do you feel about this, the idea of having, amalgamating the game in that way?
I always love to have some fun playing cricket. Look, I think I don't know what it would look like. I don't know what the rules would be like, but look, I always open to new experiences. I think playing franchise cricket in the world, you have to be open to new experiences all the time, don't you? You go to one competition and you play a T20 match. You go to 60 and you play a 60-ball match. You go to the 100, you play a 100-ball match. So many possibilities out there in the world of cricket. So for me, it's just about waiting and seeing what's going to come about. And then if I open and willing to go out there and have fun with it, I'll do that.
Philo.
Okay, guys.
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Dr. Ford, Haley. Congratulations to you and your side, George Ferris. I want to say hello to Hart. My friend Carlos, who is doing a lot of work at Heaven, who is actually doing some exams, and my son, Aiden. All the very best to him. I listened to Haley quite diligently. Leadership, you've grown into that position quite nicely. Dr. Ford said you're leading from the front. Highlighted the reasons why you're doing as a leader. And also doing that as a leader, what do you do along with that management team? Bring the others through. Was it Campbell who came second to you with runs? What have you done and the management team have done to help players like that to come along? Because you're carrying the bulk and it's obvious. How do you get those players below you to recognize that they too have to make contributions to make it easier for you to carry that burden? What is being done?
Yeah, I think just go there and give them the confidence. Shemaine Campbell, a prime example of that. She probably would have batted a lot lower down the order for West Indies. I probably tried all around the order, number five, number six. And I think this series is one of the leading batters who's been around for quite some time. You know, she was given responsibility at number three. And I think what the management staff did and what we did was just encourage her, give her the confidence to go out there and take on the role and let her know that she could be more than just, I guess, inputting scores here and there. She could be winning games for us. So, yeah, I guess just instill that confidence, give her the responsibility as she went out there and was consistent every single game. Obviously, in the future, we would love to see some bigger scores, but I definitely think it looks a lot different to some series she would have had in the past, which is a good sign that, you know, we're giving the players responsibility, we're giving them confidence, and they're really starting to stand up. So I think one by one, we could just all continue doing that with each player, making sure they all know that they have a clear role, that when they do go out to play or when they do go out to bat, they know exactly what they want to do and what they have to do.
Obviously, you've been to Pakistan before. The conditions were not that strange, but you still had to compete. What was the formula for your success as a player, a batter, captain, and the formula for the team's success in conditions where you, as a batter, made it look easy, although you said batting first was key, but you batted first and you made it count, which is very important because you know Pakistan could be a little difficult as well. Mm-hmm. And the way in which you batted the slow bowlers and the fast bowlers, how you encapsulate all of that into your success and then the team's success?
Well, I think we had clear plans, and one of those was that throughout the series, and we saw it from the very first ODI, that the only way they were really getting the wickets and getting us out was when we went across the line. And I think that's it a lot of the time in women's cricket, especially bowl straight, let the batters make a mistake. And I think once we got into ourselves, we got into the team, I got into the understanding of everyone that playing straight, playing down the ground, not going cross, batted against the straighter balls was working. I think as we watched the series from the first game to the third ODI and then throughout the T20 series, we saw so much less people getting out bowled, LBW, going across the line, which you could take once you know you have a team plan trying to hit certain areas and players get out that way. You will always be able to take that. I think that became really successful for us as the series went on. And even myself personally, just trying to play up and down the ground all day. And then when I get the width or the room wider, that's when I can play the square shots as the wickets are probably a bit slower as well too.
Nice. And you played 8 matches on that trip. Very few injuries and obviously great success. So to me, layman looking in, the more cricket you play, the better you get. And I also want to congratulate you as being an ambassador for the ICC T20 World Cup in the USA and the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But obviously from playing more matches, less injuries, you're a lot more consistent. So you think that playing more cricket is going to be better for the ladies because were there any injuries per se on that trip? Mm-hmm. You had 8 games?
Only Stefanie Taylor, that's where she settled the T20 series. But nothing major, just obviously we have very important 50 overs coming up to get points in the ICC Championship. Mm-hmm. And she's a key player for us. So we want to make sure she's at 100% all the time and not risking too much, especially seeing that we were doing well too. What was the other question you had before that?
I think that was the only question.
I want to ask you is that you're looking to go to Sri Lanka. How are you going to prepare yourself and the team for Sri Lanka?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be similar conditions to Pakistan, as far as I can remember. It's very hot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we head down to Colombo, I think, sometime early next month, and we actually have a camp over there in Sri Lanka, as far as I know. To kind of go down there, get acclimatized, get used to the conditions. And it's something similar to what we did before Pakistan. We obviously couldn't go there for the camp, but we were able to go to Dubai for about 9 days, I think it was, get used to the heat, get used to similar conditions. So us getting the chance to go to Sri Lanka, I think is going to be exactly what we need to kind of set ourselves back up for hopefully another successful series. And I guess have a look at what the wickets are doing in Sri Lanka, what the conditions feel like as well.
Mm-hmm. Tony or George, anything for Haley? Tony?
Go on, Tony.
Yeah, good evening to everyone. Good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to your panel. And good evening to Haley, and well done on all of your accomplishments. It's been Thank brilliant. You. I think that, one of the things that I look at when I look at women sport in general is fitness and power. I mean, the Venus Williams sisters, and all the women in world sport seem to have additional power. Is that a factor in cricket? And what about the fitness level? How do you attain the fitness level that the Australians and the South Africans have in a general sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think, look, first, let me say we haven't always had the same resources as them. But at the same time, I think the path that we would have seen the girls be on, though, I think you spoke about, or Phil, you spoke about the girls looking more agile or looking a lot fitter on the field. And I think that attributes to the work that the girls have been doing and that we have been doing. I think we had camp, I think it was in January or February, and we pretty much worked 8 till 3 p.m. every day with running sessions at the end of the day, just making sure we get up our fitness and get up our skills. Then T10 games throughout the camp. So the girls were working really, really hard. I think even on tour, being out there, being able to maintain our fitness, being able to get in our gym sessions. So I think the girls getting in a real good space now when it comes to the fitness, and I think it's already started showing in our cricket. I think the amount of twos and threes we ran this series, the amount of times the girls just hitting space as the games go on. Shemaine Campbell, Samir Simple, batting longer, myself included, being able to bat longer at the crease. I think all that is because of the work that we've been doing behind the scenes on the fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. When it pertains to you, I mean, you have taken your game to another level, and obviously the competition in the Caribbean is not that great. When you're not playing international cricket, what do you do to challenge yourself in net sessions? Do you do anything special?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Actually, I tend to like to do a lot of remedial work when I'm home, actually. So I can up my technique, making sure my balance is good. I feel as though playing so much cricket around the world and T20 cricket around the world, especially, you can get into bad habits really, really quickly. So when I am home, I tend to make sure I iron out the small wrinkles that you tend to get sometimes in your batsmanship throughout T20 cricket, you know, the right hand gripping the bat tight, all that kind of stuff. So I just really like to do a lot of remedial work when I'm home. I make sure that I topping up on the gym, using that time to gain strength, and then hopefully being able to maintain it on tour as you're in such a heavy schedule.
Yeah, I had last question from me. I had Stacey Ann King at UTTM, a coach at the University of Trinidad and Tobago. And I played on my second team. The way I look at this is that if you want to push somebody further, especially in a woman game, you have to play against men to be challenged. Is that a factor?
Yeah, I played elite division here in Barbados, actually. I've played a few one-day games. And every time I do get back, I actually asked my father 2 days ago what competition was going on. And unfortunately, it's only the T20 at the moment. With the other competitions not starting back until I leave for Sri Lanka again. So I came off a tour, probably scored 500 or something runs, and the first thing I could think about was getting back here and hopefully getting to play some elite. But
oh, really?
Not meant for me this time, so maybe next time I get home.
George, anything before Haley before she goes?
Hey, good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Captain Haley. Good evening, attacking batsman, Philo, big pacer, Tutti Gray, and Doctor. Good evening to your listeners, especially to my friend Fitzroy Salmon in Leicester, England. He was the one who introduced me to your show a few years ago. Okay. Captain Haley, congratulations on all of your wonderful works. I'm very proud of your performance. I like the way you captain your team. I like the confidence that you display out there when you're batting and bowling. But there's one thing that really bothers me, that is when you're out, I really can't watch the game comfortably. I'm always worried about the team crumbling. Mm-hmm. Are there any batters that you're working on, that the coaches and yourself are working on to step up to the plate, that when you're out, we're looking more confident?
I think all of them. But I think at the moment, what I think we really want to do is give girls rules. I think in T20 cricket, especially this being a T20 year, you can see very, very small impacts change a game. If somebody could come in and face 10 balls and get 18 runs off of that, they could change a game. If somebody could bowl one over for two runs, they could change a game. So I think especially in the T20 format, with this being a World Cup year, what we're looking at is starting the girls in the space. Obviously, players like Shamaine Campbell, she's taking that responsibility really well at number three, and she could go on to do a lot more. But a lot of the other girls, they got to just be able to make an impact when they step on the crease. You could win a game with 18 off 9 balls or something very small that in the end might mean so much more. So I think if we could start getting the girls into that habit from now on, and then hopefully they're able to continue to grow with that, especially young ones. You know, young Zeta James, Chanel Henry, who's not young, but in an international career, still has so much more cricket to play for her age. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for us right now. And the girls are making strides for it, and they are starting to do things in glimpses, and we just need to see that more consistently.
I see. Wonderful. Just before you go, Haley, you must be very proud to be an ambassador. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, for sure. It's a massive event, one of the biggest events, period, in the whole world. A sport I love in the country I grew up in. Obviously, the finals being at Kensington Oval. Y'all know my father, Michael, played at Pickwick, which when I was growing up, their home ground was Kensington Oval. So I spent so much time there growing up as a little girl, just running around that field. So to be able to be an ambassador now for the event, the biggest cricketing event in the world, is definitely a huge honor, I think, alongside the other ambassadors that were named as well.
All right. Well, it's really a pleasure. I know that Philip Spooner has joined us. Philip, you would want to congratulate your good friend Haley before she goes. Philip? Philip?
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, yes. Good evening, everyone. Well, I've known Haley from the time she was Michael's little girl. So that goes back a long time. Now, Haley's always been standout. So I just want to say well done to I call her Matthews. I always call her Matthew. You know, keep it really. There's so many records to be broken now. And, you know, as Haley's just set a standard, she joined Stephanie Taylor as the only West Indian female to get 2,000 runs and 100 wickets. She was quite surprised when I drew that to her attention on a WhatsApp message, but we were able to celebrate it, and it was commemorated. So, Haley, keep the good work going, and I look forward to working with you as an ambassador as well. I know you'll get it. You'll get it right. You'll always get it right. You and Carla, you'll become a tag team now. And I heard you mention Shamaine Campbell, and that's a player that I always had a lot of time for, and quite a bit of that. She's the only player in the history of international cricket to make 1,000 runs, take 100 wickets, and take 100 dismissal.
Oh, really? Wonderful. Absolutely.
Or something like that. But she's got a record. And obviously, wicketkeepers don't bowl. And bowlers don't keep wickets. And she's been able to actually do that. And so she's got a very unique place in world cricket history. And it's something that nobody talks about, but she's a really, really superb three-dimensional player. So I got that wrong. So she's got 2,000 runs. She's got over 50 wickets, 21 in ODIs and 34 in T20. And she's got 68, sorry, she's got 60 two dismissals mm-hmm. in ODIs and 54 in T20. So she's got 2,000 runs, 50 wickets, and 100 dismissals.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And obviously, yeah. as I said, bowlers don't keep wicket and keepers don't bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really unique treble. Mm-hmm. And she needs to be also celebrated because she has come to the party, and as Haley said, she's taken a lot of pressure
mm-hmm.
off her bat at number three and minute play.
Mm-hmm.
I remember her making 100 in Sri Lanka back at 7 when Sherwin Campbell was the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Haley wasn't playing then. And Sherwin Campbell is the best 100 he's seen in women's cricket.
Ooh.
Batting at number 7 and making 100 with the
mm-hmm.
And she hasn't really kicked on big time since then, but she's a player that we really need in that team to really add that impetus and take the pressure off Haley and Stefani. So Haley, again, well done. Your award presentation is next week, so we'll have some fun with that as well.
Andrew, before Haley goes, it's not a battle of the sexes, but I must confess that Haley is the most articulate and insightful captain that represents the West Indies today. Mm-hmm. And I want to give her kudos mm-hmm. for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a pleasure talking to her. She understands the game. She understands her role. She understands how things work in the region. And, you know, we're fortunate to have her. And I wish her all the best in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Haley. Thanks, man. I'm glad I got a nice seat more.
Haley, just one final thing. The West Indies side has been selected, the squad. Your expectations for the guys in terms of the World Cup, which is on our doorstep. Your expectations. Final question.
Well, I think you guys got a very good chance. I think one thing for sure,
mm-hmm.
when you look in your team, you see a lot of power.
Yes.
And that's what's playing men's cricket now. Mm-hmm. Power and the ability to hit sixes. So
mm-hmm.
I got them going to the finals for sure this year.
Mm-hmm. And you know about power, don't you? Thanks, Haley, for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Always welcome to be on Mason and Guest. Enjoy the rest of your evening. All right, we're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to do a lot of things. We're going to get a reaction to the West Indies squad that was selected. We didn't hear from you last week. Our good friend, of course, we're talking about Tony Gray. And, of course, we also want to talk to George Firth as well. And we also want to look in terms of what's been happening with people trying to get tickets, because I understand that there have been one or two challenges in that area. Mason and Guest, brought in association with our good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day. ASFE
White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me.
Are you ready?
Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify. Just sing this song, tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, let's go straight to George first. George, do you like the West Indies squad that was announced last week? Do you like it, Georgie? Tell me.
Hey, Andrew, yes. I think it's a good, powerful squad. There was only one different player that I didn't pick, was this Hetmyer.
Mm.
I had Kyle Mayers instead of Hetmyer because Kyle brought more value to the team. You know, because you're going to have Kyle bowl one or two overs, and he'll get the ball easily away than Hetmyer. I like Hetmyer, don't get me wrong, but I thought Kyle Mayers would have been a better choice. However, the selectors probably went for Hetmyer because he's been playing more recent cricket than Kyle has.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why he was given the nod ahead of Kyle Mayers. But all in all, they have a good side. And as I have said before, if these guys can overcome the challenge of the spinners,
mm-hmm.
but we do have problem with spinners or guys sit in the crease like if they have anchors on their feet, right? If we can overcome the challenge and also bowl well at the death, we have a very good chance of winning the World Cup. They have a good side. I like the side.
You like the side. So,
I like the squad.
So you give the selectors 95 out of 100 then, basically.
Yeah, I'll say that. They get an A for picking the side.
Mm.
I like the side.
Mm.
They did a good job.
Tony Gray, do you like the side?
Yeah, I think the selectors did a very good job. Remember when you asked me to name my squad, I had 14 of the 15 players that were picked.
Are you sure about that?
Just like Ferris.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, just like... yeah, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, just like Ferris, I am not seeing Hetmyer being on a team. Obviously, he struggled against India when the Indians were in the Caribbean last year in August. He struggled against the English team. And just not in T20, just not in the T20 format, but in all the white ball formats, you know, the one-day games too. So clearly, and my assessment with him is that his concentration levels have dwindled significantly. And now he's been put in a role as a finisher. And that's sad to me because Seth Meyer has always had the talent, but his concentration levels have dwindled.
Mm-hmm.
And people will say his fitness, I think it's just, you know, the roles that he has played in recent times. So I would have put Kyle Mayers. I think that he brings a lot to the table. The ability to swing the ball prodigiously.
Yes.
And late swing too, is going to be a factor in the World Cup. He has the ability to bowl Yorkers. He's very different from what we have seen in world cricket. I mean, for a guy to get 5 for 18 against the English in test match cricket tells you about his ability to swing the ball, because those guys, the English batsmen, are very adept at playing the swinging ball. And he, Kyle Mayers, obviously brings different things too. And I think that when you're assessing players to the T20 format, you have to look at any little detail, any minute detail. His ability to throw from the boundary is also a factor. And obviously, he can score very quickly. And we know that strike rates are very important. Hetmeyer's strike rate in international cricket is just 118, which is really not good at all for a top-order batsman. Hetmeyer's been picked, Andrew, and I would put him to the number three opener.
Really?
Because the way he's been programmed, way he's been programmed now, is to go after the ball. That's the way he's been programmed. And the only way I see him playing on that team as not to disrupt the all-rounders at the end of our innings is to open the innings or to go at number three to capitalize on the fielding restrictions.
Number three.
But that's the way he's been programmed. He's been programmed to hit the ball.
Well, all right. Dr. Ford, your assessment of the side? Do you like it, Dr. Ford?
It's a decent side. It's a decent side. My choice was between Charles and Hetmeyer.
Charles?
Hope and Puran being keepers. Charles was extra. Also, Charles's fitness may not be as good as Hetmeyer. I guess it's hard between the two. But I think Charles has made a volume of runs that can't be ignored, and Hetmeyer is too unsighted to be effective as a 20 player internationally, as I can see it right now. I do agree that he'd have to go at number three, but for me, I guess Hetmeyer wouldn't have made it. I would have had Charles, and Mayers offers a dual threat, and I think T20 cricket is really about having all-rounders, and a guy that can contribute in three ways is more useful than a guy that can contribute in only two. About Joseph my opinions there, maybe I would have thought of maybe another guy that could bowl and bat. I'd mentioned Drakes and some others, but all in all, I'm not disappointed with the side, and I wish the team all the best.
Wonderful indeed. All right. We got to pause for business calls pretty soon.
And who your Guyanese contingent is here. We need to get on with this because we have limited time here.
Oh, yes.
Greetings from the land of many waters.
Right. Okay. So, Philip, gentlemen, how are you? Philip, there are a couple of guys who've been having one or two challenges in relation to the whole question of getting tickets. Before we go to them, how are tickets going, Philip, in terms of people getting them easily at the box offices? Any challenges, Philip?
Let's go to them. Let's hear what the challenges are so we can solve the problem.
All right, good. Now, talk to me. You're in Guyana. What are your challenges in getting tickets?
Hi.
Tell us.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Navin here. I'd say it's very difficult to actually get tickets, and the host countries, I believe, should have at least a bit more of a straight pathway to getting tickets. I recall about 38 persons or accounts I know are created for the lottery for us to get at least final tickets. And to date, not one person in that 38 got a single finals ticket out of that regime. But I'm thinking that is the improbability of that. It's astounding. We pretty much had to buy tickets, the bundle, for games that we're not going to go to just to get the final tickets.
Even the semis in
Guyana. Yeah, and even the semis in Guyana, we are forced to buy bundles for games that we don't really want to go. So I don't think that's a good thing. While we do this, we can while we were in the lottery and didn't get any catch, we are seeing tickets online at other sites being sold for, of course, bigger markups.
Oh, dear.
Well, if you want to get tickets, you've got two options, tickets.t20worldcup.com, or you can visit the box office at the Guyana Cricket Board.
That's the site I have on my my phone, home screen.
Yeah.
I'm speaking with difficulties through that site.
So have you been on the site, you've got your tickets, are you happy or are you not happy?
Not very happy. I've paid more for tickets than I should have, and I've had to buy tickets for games I won't even be in the country for.
Oh dear.
The only tickets that you have available now are the party stands. And the games, like for example, in guaranteeing tickets for the finals, I need to buy party stand tickets, the only ones available. But then you buy for that, preliminary games start. So those are wasted tickets. Philip? But to guarantee,
I missed a bit of what you said just now, but I'm not sure I fully understand.
Could you?
The long short of it is that.
Well, hold on, Philip. We kind of missed you just a bit, Justin. Could you just repeat what you said? Because we missed you a little bit there. Could you repeat what you said?
Well, okay, just to reiterate, there seems to be no availability, even through the site, the ICC site,
right,
for you to go and get ordinary ticket. The only tickets that are available are the party stands. You're being pretty much pushed in that pathway to buy the party stand, but then you have to bundle it.
Oh, so
if you want a game like this, you want a game like the semis or the finals, right, you have to buy that with another ticket. And for example, I'm in Guyana. I'm coming over for the finals on the 29th, and I'm pretty much have to buy a ticket for the 2nd of June.
Oh dear.
So I'm not going to be there for those games. So those are tickets I'm just forced to buy. And there's no availability.
Let me just get in here.
Contrary to what the ICC has advertised from the ballot that they had. So the sale of ordinary tickets, it hasn't materialized.
Is that true, Philip?
That is very disappointing.
Is that true, Philip?
While you see this thing available for big markups,
I'm not sure on other sites. Let me just count this.
While we fail to get the tickets through the ballots, I'm talking 1 in 40 almost. No one got any tickets.
Philip?
We were seeing it on other sites.
Okay.
The tickets were being sold on other sites.
Hold on.
I think that is unfair to Pat.
Philip,
we encourage persons.
Philip?
Yeah, I'll take it offline, Andrew. I can speak to him separately, but let me just clear the air on this one. The site is up right now. I'm looking at it. Tickets are available there. The prices are there. You can go on. If he goes on right now, he can get the ticket that he wants. Anybody can go on right now and get the ticket that they want.
But,
as I said, the prices are there.
But what about, I have it here. I'm pulling it up.
But what about bundling, Philip?
That's part one. Part two.
What about bundling, Philip?
But they're there. They are there, and you go and select the ticket that you want, and you purchase it. Part two is that the box offices are open, and you can go to the box offices, and you can purchase tickets, single tickets, up to 6 per person per match, individual matches, and you can get your tickets. So the information that he's relaying, I'm not too sure about that, but I take his word.
I'd rather
take it off here, Andrew, because this is not something.
Where are the final tickets?
I want to be discussing.
This is the last game available.
Chief, everybody's
what happened when you click on it?
This,
The final is no longer available.
I'm telling you, but I'm talking about the final, sir. What are you saying?
I'm not going to get in a showdown with this, Andrew.
Okay.
It's not a showdown, eh? This schedule came out, there's hundreds of us Guyanese that are cricket fans, and Mr. Mason knows this. We have been on this lottery, on this ICC website. I happen to live in Florida. We checked 5-6 times a day. The only thing I was able to get was this little semi game in Guyana on the 27th, but it forced me to buy a party stand for June 7th. I am not in Guyana June 7th.
Philip?
So I'm going to lose $100 and some because the bundling issue is a problem.
Philip?
And all I wanted was one ticket for one game.
As I said, I'm not going to take this any further live on your show.
Okay, fine.
I'd rather talk to these gentlemen.
I agree.
I can say is, if you are on the site at the moment, semi-final tickets are available for anybody who goes on tickets.t20worldcup.com. They can purchase a ticket right now.
All right. Okay, gentlemen, what we will do is that...
It forces you to buy an extra game.
All right. Okay. So, gentlemen, what we will do is that I'll allow you to speak to Philip off air, and you can try and solve the problem. Philip, I agree with you. You've made the point.
Give Philip my number. I'd be happy to talk.
Right. Okay.
I'm actually doing it for the other fans. I have my tickets at relatively high prices I've had to pay, but certainly the other fans deserve a shot at getting their tickets.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show. What I'll do, I'll certainly put you in contact with Philip and you can continue the discussion.
Happy to do same. Wonderful. Thanks.
Let's pause for business cause. I think it was important to get it out because, you know, sometimes, Philip, you say that things are going well, but people have got challenges. And this is why we have Mason and guests. We all want to hear both sides of the story. We saw a press release coming from the Barbados Cricket Association. The acting president, Calvin Hope, has joined us. So we want to hear from him pretty, pretty soon in relation to how things are going as they prepare for the World Cup. Mason and guests, broaden association with our good friends at ASFE Wet Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESAFIELD white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Now, on May the 5th, we saw a press release coming from the Barbados Cricket Association. In fact, the day before, on social media, there seemed to be some challenges as far as the Barbados Cricket Association concerned. I was a little bit surprised by what I saw. Some staff apparently not happy at all. And I thought it was important to invite the acting president of the Barbados Cricket Association, Mr. Calvin Hope, to spend a couple of minutes with us. Good evening to you, Mr. Hope. How are you?
I'm fine. Good evening to you, Andrew, and your guests.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this BCA press release, first of all, are you surprised by all of this that you're hearing? I mean, I heard a lot about it on the weekend when I was covering the match there at Yorkshire. Were you caught surprised by all of this, Calvin?
Oh, very much so. I have been associated with the BCA as a administrator for the last 25 years. And I have never known BCA staff, should I say, do anything to affect the BCA's delivery of an international match, regional match, or even the World Cup matches that are held in Barbados. This is the third time that it has been selected Cup finals, and they've always delivered at a very high quality. And I would say because these coming matches are scheduled for Barbados, that demonstrates the confidence this country, its people, and the BCA as well. We've been hard at work, the BCA staff, over the last couple of months. Grounds, technical people, to people in the staff and administration. Well, I received the WhatsApp message Sunday until the Friday.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is everything was in their office, apart from some concerns staff had, which they discussed with the CEO. They were having a meeting on Monday. You schedule a meeting on Monday. But before that meeting could happen, that meeting was supposed to be 2:30 Monday afternoon. But before that meeting happened, someone sent this message in some concern. So my actions, they informed the board of what I heard and had the message shared with the board. They agreed that we would have an early meeting on Monday at between 8 and 8:30 to ascertain, really gather facts on the matter. In that meeting, staff assured myself, the CEO, and the chairman of the HR committee, they absolutely knew nothing about the impending strike. Nobody with that they knew of had planned the impending strike. And they, like all and sundry, received the same via online, which went viral. So that is the position. The BCA, I am here to confirm that up to date, staff has confirmed that they had never planned a strike. There was no pending strike. No discussions were held between the staff about this strike. And therefore, and they are committed to delivering on the World Cup what they have to do and to protect the image of the BCA, the image of Barbados, and to be a serious player. Off the field in delivering a high quality experience at Kensington Oval. But the police would have communicated.
Yes.
There were some allegations in there. And we agreed in the meeting with the staff that we will investigate those allegations to ascertain facts and act accordingly. So that's where we are. But the main thing is that there will be no strike in the BC. And it's never been planned, and it's absolutely appalling. Whoever may have been informed about that would have been ill-informed, and the person who penned that WhatsApp message would have twisted what concerns the BCA staff may have had. And discuss with the CEO, which were to be solved internally. They took the opportunity to cause this disruption and conflict. So, can confirm to you that there'll be no strike.
All right. But I got a couple of questions for you. Doc or Philo, any questions for Calvin? Philo or Doc?
Well, I guess any message that starts with wonder if it is true is a message to be taken with a grain of salt. But the idea that the president of the nation would not be allowed to function in a way that is accustomed wasn't something that would be expected. And I think that aspect of it wasn't one that I took seriously. But I think coming out of the message, I guess the main question that individuals would want after the acting president has made it clear that the staff isn't going on strike is the tender process for amenities and stalls, etc. during the event. I know that during a home series it may be something that's the purview of the BCA, but for an international event, what's the process of securing the ability to make sales and to provide refreshments at the ground?
Since 2007, BCA has had no jurisdiction or allocating or considering anything relating to vending. At the purview of vending falls under the management company of Kensington Oval, which, you know, is for me. BBC does not handle that. It is nothing to that PA is involved in. Again, this event is an ICC event. There's a process for awarding contract for vendors. And that process, they understand it, involves the BCA was asked to submit all people, all caterers who perform services for the BCA for all requirements, local matches or for trial matches, for practice sessions, things that the BCA do locally. That was done and submitted to Comey, up to the ICC, and they have a process of how to allocate those. They understand they had a process of even case things before they awarded contracts and do their allocations. So that was nothing that the BCA would have been involved in, from the aspect of awarding.
So is it possible for an individual to actually control and to guide and to delegate, who is accredited to work in let's say, the suite of the BCA was another bone of contention. Is that something that's done by an individual, or how is that determined, what happens in the president's suite?
Sorry, didn't say. You said the sleep of the BCA.
The president's suite. What's the process of determining who gets to function and do stuff in the box for this event? Is it the same as for home tours with visiting teams, or is this in the purview of the BCA, or is it?
It's not the purview of the BC. You have to start with who controls Kensington or an ICC event. The question for that is the ICC.
Within the box that the BCA...
Every box at the BCA, at the Kensington Oval, including the President's Suite, falls under the purview of the ICC. To allocate all catering at Kensington Oval. And I understand across venue, not only in Barbados, catering done by caterers selected by the ICE in conjunction, obviously, with the home homie, in conjunction with CWI. It will get the local knowledge would be informed, and the process was true for me. And all the BCA did was to submit all those who catered BCA and are accustomed to doing so, and end the process. Yes, I can tell you that any individual from the BCA who would have influenced or made. But that is basically impossible. And so that would be outside the scope of what the BCA had to do.
Okay, well, it's not in your purview, but are you aware of individuals who are disgruntled or disappointed who were previous individuals that had contracts to do such previously?
No, I'm not aware at all. They said that is not something that would have come to the BCA board to make a decision on, or even the BCA office. But that is within the purview of the ICC, who controls all boxes there. For instance, there are local patrons, or let me say local clients that Omi would have, who would, in long term, or the, if you want to call it, renters, and these people that basically fell away from Kobe. So the ICC is really in charge of all the boxes, and they may give some preference, I'm sure they would have, to say people like the Central Bank, the long-term holder, utilizing boxes and big troop. It did that before when Kensington was under, you know, control of BCA. So they're like everybody else. They used to use their own caterers. That is, or these matches, that is no longer in existence. Even the BCA, who we have managed to arrange for the BCA to have its president's suite or matches leading up to the final. Yes, we have it for the final, but some sharing arrangement, WI and BC, and you know, we're working out that arrangement because of the demand.
But Calvin, for the game. But Calvin, I want
hold on. So what I am saying, even the BCA has to fall under the arrangements of ICC, where the catering arrangements of ICC,
but Calvin,
we have to utilize that. You're mandated to utilize that. We are not utilizing our own caterers.
Calvin, you chaired that meeting yesterday, did you? As the acting president, did you chair the meeting that was held?
Yes, I did.
Good. All right.
Yes, I did.
Can you confirm that the staff at the BCA, they're not happy about an offer of $50 to do work? Can you confirm this?
Let me. It is not about confirming. BCA staff has some concerns.
Yes.
Which they raised again.
Was that a Calvin?
Which they raised before.
Calvin, was that?
Hold on.
But was that a concern?
Hold on.
Was that a concern?
Let me say the BCA staff. You don't put words in my mouth.
I would never even. I would never entertain the thought.
No. Well, please don't go down the line that you're going down.
Okay.
Let me explain.
Thank you.
Because I told you, first of all, the reason that the meeting was called at 8, between 8 and 8:30, was to dispel, find out what was the real position regarding the strike. That is the number one thing.
Yes.
That the BCA, we were obligated to tell the public the truth about this.
Yes.
And that that missive did not emanate from people who had concerns. That was said to me.
But Calvin, you said that
before. We will have our investigation.
But Calvin,
hold on.
You've said that before.
The staff raised some concerns.
Right.
There are some concerns.
Yes.
Right? Which we will address. Right? We will address all concerns. That's an internal situation that we must address. All their concerns, our staff must be treated properly. And that is what I would say on that. You will hear in the future how we have addressed those things.
Well, that is a concern. And I would have also done my investigations as well. And I understand the staff at the BCA are very, very upset that they were offered $50 as members of the Barbados Cricket Association to do work.
Right. Well, if that is your understanding, keep understanding it.
What is your
understanding? You have to understand your understanding.
But what is your understanding? You chaired the meeting. Is that true or not? Was that a concern that came up?
My understanding is that the BCA staff require some things to be right, and those are internal matters,
right?
Which must be discussed internally.
Okay, fair enough. Lawyer Fellow Wallace, any concerns? Any questions for the little Calvin Hope, your good friend? Anything?
Andrew.
Yes.
Calvin Hope is the acting president. He's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's right to he knows protocol. All I have to ask Calvin, Oman is coming to Barbados for a 10-day camp. Will we be ready to host Oman? And the games that they'll be playing, would it be against a full Barbados side or a makeup Barbados side?
Well, there's a selection panel. I can tell you from where he sit, there will be a strong Barbados side of adequate balance put forward to play against Oman and offer them decent practice, competitiveness, three matches they play here, or the two matches that they play against Barbados. We welcome the opportunity, and any matches like that are good opportunities for our main players, players who may be under 23 and just knocking at the door, and a mixture to play against them. And if there are players available from the senior side, right, I'm sure that the selectors would consider those.
But the venues, you don't know where they'll have the games to be played.
Well, the venues, I'm not certain as to what the cricket operations have done yet. But I'm sure that they would put them at grounds that are suitable for those kind of arrangements. We will leave no stone unturned. Just let provide proper facilities for the community.
Why I ask a question, Calvin, because I know years ago, Barbados used to be a hub for the counties. They will come down and do their preseason. That is no longer happening. The counties go to Africa, Dubai, and those places. So having Oman to come 10 days to do their pre-World Cup preparation, and I think that the BCA should obviously make sure that everything is in place to impress them, so that once they're impressed, the word will spread, because there'll be world coverage, that Barbados does have the facilities where they can, where teams can come and prepare yet again for county cricket, for international tournaments. And I think it's important that they are handled correctly and no mess ups or hiccups or anything like that. It should be seamless. And that's all I'm asking that question, because this is important for Barbados as well.
Yes.
Yes, I'm in agreement with you. It's always an opportunity to showcase or delivery of facilities and good cricket experience for visiting teams. But let me slip in here that the facilities in Barbados, or let me say it, might not be the thing as why companies don't come here anymore. There's a mixture of things there. Promotion, in the first place, the communication with these people, and then how do you arrange for them? So you got to communicate that you are willing to offer something. You got to design your product. And there is no better place for a cricket team to tour down, especially from a team from out of region. You have your product, but not only the cricket, but you have the beach, you have the restaurants, you have everything is in close proximity. So your supporters, your wives, or players could be on the beach, and within a half an hour, they're at the ground to see the last hour or the after tea or after lunch, last 3 hours, last 2 hours, etc. That is virtually impossible outside this region.
No, Calvin,
that is a highlight for this region.
No, in the interest of time, things
are unique selling point.
Yeah. What about the venues that are going to be used? Weymouth, Windward, and the 3Ws Oval. Are they going to be ready? I'm hearing that they're
concerned. I can tell you that, Andrew, is that the ICC visited Barbados on, I think, about 3-4 occasions.
Right.
Doing the inspection.
Right.
They went to every aspect of delivery, right? Grounds, including Kensington,
right,
the stands, the physical infrastructure for cricket, and those venues earmarked for practice facilities. And they passed Congress as delivering on all those things with flying colors. I can only go from what EIC says. And say that Barbados have been ahead mm-hmm. of everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I can only go by the ICC.
Mm, okay.
Obviously, right, one may find a little hiccup here or there, but I don't think it will impact the delivery of the preparation and practice.
Calvin, stay with us. Of course, we got a pause for a business cause, but I'm getting some WhatsApp messages in relation to your responses. And, you know, let me go back to one that came through in terms of the vendors. Someone is saying that the vendors were told who would have done a lot of work in the last World Cups that we hosted, that they don't meet the criteria anymore. Are you aware of the challenges with the vendors, Calvin?
Well, I have heard you lads vendors have said that.
Yes.
Now, the BCA do not set any criteria, as I just said.
Right.
Right? It is the ICC who put these whatever arrangements. I don't even know what the arrangements are because it is not our purview to measure these things.
So inform us. So who would act on behalf of the ICC here? Comey? Tell us.
No, I that is not my understanding.
So who would
that the ICC, they would pass whatever decision they make down to, I believe, Comey.
Oh, okay. All right.
Or their agents here.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And or down to CWI. And then on to the local Tukumi, has the venue.
Yeah,
BC
yeah.
is not in charge of the venue. So that question is not fair to ask the BCA.
Mm.
The BCA's responsibility in this World Cup.
Right.
And people may not understand.
Yeah.
The arrangements for this World Cup is totally different.
Yeah.
And what happened in the past?
Yeah, but Calvin,
what happened in the past?
That's not going to fly.
So I'm just telling you. If you think that I'm defensive, I am speaking because we are not responsible for that.
But Calvin, Mason and Guess, we do investigations. Yeah. Now, this $50 that I'm talking about, I'm told that there are people who have been offered $1,500. Have you heard that, Calvin?
Andrew,
I've done my homework, Calvin.
But if you've done your homework,
I can also tell you, Calvin. Hold on, Calvin. I can also tell you that the contract for the catering was changed, right? Are you aware of that? I can even give you the parties involved.
I am saying to you, Andrew, look, I am not here to be interrogated, right?
Mm-hmm.
I came on this program,
right,
to assure Barbadians,
right,
that there will be no strike
mm-hmm.
by the staff of the BCA, because the BCA staff told me that in a meeting.
Beautiful.
Confirmed that to me
right. mm-hmm.
in a meeting.
Right.
I am not here to discuss any issues that the BCA staff may have, because it would not be fair to them
mm-hmm.
or to the BCA,
right,
the CEO, or right. to the board,
right,
for me to be debating issues here relating to the staff.
All right. Fair enough. All right, stay with us, Calvin.
So bear with us.
We will
deal with whatever the staff has.
Right.
You know, and we will get back to you.
So stay with us, Calvin. It's always good.
And to all in sundry.
Stay with us, Calvin. Always good to have you on the show. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the very good friends at ESFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 441790. Stay with us, Calvin. I know that Philip Spoon has been making notes. Tony Gray, this doesn't happen in your country, but truth is not always popular, but truth is always right. And I really hope, Calvin, that you sit with your staff and you solve the challenges that there are there at the BCA. There are real problems. The staff is not happy at all. And I know that you can do it as the acting president of the Barbados Cricket Association. Sit with them and deal with the problems that exist at that organization. The staff is not happy. And and I do know because I've done my investigations. Now, let's come back to you, Philip Spooner. Are you the ICC representative in Barbados, Philip, in terms of all these things that we're hearing from Calvin? Philip Spooner is still with us?
Yeah, I'm on mute. No, I'm not the representative on the thing. I'm responsible for the media.
Mm-hmm. I'm just
section
kidding.
Of the tournament. I'm the basis.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
4341790. Let's take a couple of calls. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
And good evening to your panel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first, let me say, I think let's start off by wishing the guys, the West Indian players, the selection of the team, well, and hope that they would be able to, do well for the West Indies.
Mm.
I must say tonight, Andrew, that I don't know if you watch Colombo. I mean, Dr. Ford might be able to enlighten you.
Mm.
Colombo was a very good interrogator.
Mm.
But you must understand that you were talking to an attorney at law, Calvin Hope.
Yes.
He might not be as popular as your good 40-year-old friend, 40-year-old practicing attorney, Ralph Thorne. And it would seem that with all the tutoring that you would have gotten from Ralph, anything seemed to rub off.
Well.
Because if you're listening to Calvin correctly,
but
Calvin
sir,
is indicating to you
yes.
that he is there not to discuss the things that you claim that you know or hear.
Yes.
He is there to discuss, to put the people of Barbados' mind at ease pertaining to the alleged striking at the BCA during the World Cup.
Yes.
So all the other things that you are bringing around, he is not in any position to discuss those things because it is about him. Mm. They do not carry any responsibility for that.
Mm.
So, Andrew, I don't know what this is.
But Calvin came on the show to assure Barbadians that there's not going to be any strike at the BCA. That's fine.
You must understand that even if there's such a thing in the making,
yes,
he is not going to come out in order for this to make prime time news tomorrow.
Mm.
Right? So that is not going to fly with Calvin.
Mm.
Right? So I understand them quite clear.
Yes.
I'm not saying there is or isn't.
Mm.
But the things that you are asking him, the probing questions that how Colombo, which is Peter Falk, would ask, is not getting past him. So you have to turn a different leaf, Andrew, tonight.
Not at all.
Anyhow,
not
at all. Have a good evening.
Thank you, but not at all. Not at all. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. 441790. Talk to us. 441790, give us a call and certainly participate as far as it's concerned. I see Lockhart Sebastian has joined us there from Dominica. Lockhart, how are you, sir? Is that Lockhart Sebastian there? Where is he? Hello, Lockhart. He's gone to sleep, maybe.
Andrew?
Yeah, is that Lockhart?
Andrew?
Yes.
No, this is Tony.
Tony.
This is Tony Gray.
Can we take a call, please?
Yes, we can take a call. 441790. Hello, welcome. Mason and guests.
Stop trying to put people on the spot.
Yeah,
but
Calvin has come here tonight to do a PR job. That's not my job. Calvin is within his right to do a PR job. I come to discuss that.
Calvin's trying to put people on the spot. It's in poor taste.
Not at all. Not at all, sir. I've done my homework.
Nonsense.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Take it to school tomorrow.
Okay, fair enough. 441790. Can we take another call? 441790.
Can I ask a question, Andrew?
Yes.
Mr. Hope a question?
Of course.
Mr. Hope, good day to you.
Yes, I've never faced you, but if it is a bouncer, I certainly would get out of the way.
Yes, yes.
One question. You attended the conference in Trinidad.
Yes.
Just a couple of weeks ago.
Sorry, I didn't hear that clearly.
You attended the conference in Trinidad. Your impressions and if anything is going to come out of it, you think strongly about it. Your impressions about the conference?
No, I think it was an excellent conference, an opportunity for key stakeholders to engage. Some interesting positions came out of it. Me, thought it was fairly clear people are not happy with the current arrangements as to things like how a leader of Cricket West Indies is selected. I think there was some discomfort there. It was raised by Rowley, the Prime Minister of Trinidad. In his summing up, that's what he summed up. Also, that the framework of the administration of Cricket West Indies, it currently stands, need to change, where you have cricket operations, development, all the administration of cricket. You need to put that to one side to be done, and the commercial activity of the organization needs to be in another side. How do you do that legally in separating the organization? It's for lawyers to do, but that needs to be looked at so that the uniqueness of our cricket and its arrangements with various islands and with six shareholders, that decision making in one body for cricket and for commerce is not best thing. And sustainability, and this has we should look at that, because the revenue model does not support the requirements for training and for operations of matches at home, tournaments across the board. CWI basically is a broke organization when you look at the financial report. They may make money from this World Cup, right? Then this World Cup, and then all the money is spent. CWI do not invest money in any area per se. They've now had some interest in the CG, the Coolidge Ground, right? But don't know that that is developing it into any money-making affair or any opportunity to raise money. And they're looking at a number of things, as I understand it. But I think that those were the things that came out, the important things. I think also that territorial boards should examine themselves, given what was said there. There is some unease and a notion that territorial boards are blocking reform. That could not be further from the truth.
Okay.
What territorial boards have been saying is that how, when you arrive at a report for governance, that they are left out, and then you come and present them with the report. So it is not a bottoms-up report. The brief given is given by whoever is running the organization at the time.
Ooh.
And that is never the best thing, because if you own a company, you would expect that, or you are a major shareholder, which the major shareholders, because when you say own the company, people tend to get a little nervous about that.
Right.
But the territorial board, some consultation should happen to the territorial board to arrange that brief as to what type of corporate governance reform you need. And when you do it, that is when you will get them on board. But if you leave them out and then come to them at the last minute and say that they are the cause of the problems in West Indies cricket, you're going to have a stumbling block. Because at the end of the day, CWI does not have a cricket team unless the territorial boards give them the pool to choose one from. And the other important factor, TWI owes the territorial boards $12 million.
Ooh.
And these territorial boards have been propping up CWI for years financially.
Mm.
You know, so it is not fair, right? People need, there need to be more analysis of the value of the territorial boards and give them the opportunity to make some input very early into, you know. To me, I think that all territorial boards should follow the model of what happened in Trinidad.
Right.
And try to engage in their territories in the same way to develop a position, which if it shares a position, it could help inform the future.
All right. Just hold your horses there because there are a couple of calls coming through. Can we take a call? Yes. Hello. Welcome. Missing a guest. 441790. 441790. We do have. Hello. Welcome.
I think that person left.
Okay. Yes. George, you wanted to make a point. George?
Hey, Mr. Hope, just a quick question. I heard that you mentioned that they have the CWI has about $12 million for the territorial board. Is that correct? Is that listed on the liability section of the statement that they just released? Because that is news to me.
Well, I invite you to look at the, I don't know if it is in the annual report. It should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to speak too much in too detail about that,
right.
But the annual report is a public document, so I'm not bringing any tales out of school.
Whoa.
And I don't know how it, I have not fully read it because I was not a director at the time, right, of circulation of that. But I would say, yes, they do owe money in that region, but this is not one territorial board, this is across the board.
12 million, right. you said 12 million, right, Calvin? About 12 million.
About that.
Okay.
Approximately 12 million.
Okay.
Well, if 12, if that is the case, that means all the profit that they say they're having, they have to take that 12 million off and show us the true profit.
Well, I'm not an accountant. I deal with the accountant, but over the years, there's always been money owed to territorial books.
Right. Okay.
Right. And it is, it but I must say that it is paid down over time.
Right.
Over time.
All right.
But that has been for years. Several years. It's happening. From back in Peter Short and all those people's time.
Just hold your horses because one or two people want to come through it and talk to us. Oh, dear. 4341790. 4341790. You can certainly participate in the show. Is Lockhart Sebastian there with us still? Lockhart.
Let's give way to a call, please.
Yeah, please. Hello, welcome. Missing a guest.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Judge Mason, I guess.
How are you?
I good. How about you?
Yeah, but you know I'm not in the business of PR, you know.
You're the judge.
No, I mean, Calvin is my good friend, but I mean, we gotta put the facts on the table. I'm sure Calvin is very much aware of that.
True.
Yes.
But, you are doing a good job.
I try.
The first man covered up about the tickets.
Yes.
And now the second man covered up the wicket.
I like that. That's a classic. Oh, that's a classic.
Good shot.
Good shot. Talk to us.
Anything from Miss Odyssey is good shot.
Yeah.
So anyhow, you're doing a good job.
I try my best.
All right.
Can we take another call? Let's try and get some calls in. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night, Mr. Mason and Guest.
Good night to you. How are you? The females are calling tonight. Maybe because George Ferris is on.
No, I'm calling because I had the rest of this team 95% favor.
95?
I had hit Meyer in there. And I think that's way, but fact.
Well. He's fattish.
He's fat.
Fattish.
Yeah. And I am disappointed with him there, but apart from him, I am satisfied, and I wish them all the best, and I'll be rooting for them once they use the head down and not the shoulders down.
Right, right. Are you going to any of the games as yet? Are you going to any of the games?
Yeah, I got tickets for gone, but...
But let me ask a question. You went to the box office to collect your ticket?
No, I got online.
Oh, you got online. Did you have any challenges online?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't have any challenges online. All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us, and we wish the West Indies well.
I wish them well.
441-790, of course, is the call number. Philip Spooner's with us. Philip, you know, any challenges in terms of people getting tickets at the box offices? Or everything is going smooth?
Well, I have to say that we welcome the interventions by the ladies, but they're waxing lyrical tonight, man. They even made it that. I appreciate. Andrew, well, you know, we have various members of the ticketing team and the event team already in the region. They've started, well, not started, they're continuing the excellent work that we've had so far. Where there are challenges, we have people in place to see what the challenges are and to ensure that we get as smooth a situation as possible. As you were aware, tickets went on sale recently. We had various start points across the region. We had Ronnie Tarwan, who was with us in Guyana. Mm-hmm. He was at the ticket office. He was come fans. We had Melissa Aguilera in Trinidad. She did work when she was there to welcome fans when they bought the tickets. And we had the Mighty Gabby in Barbados. We had Pedro Collins, and Kurt Edwards. So we tried our best across the region to encourage fans. We also had Keswick Williams in St. Vincent. We've tried to encourage fans to come and get the tickets. We tried to, you know, put things in place to make it as easy as a situation as possible when they come for the tickets. You know, you don't want to be in line for any enormous amount of time. So we've gotten better at that. And we continue to strive to get better at it, to minimize the amount of time it takes from the time you step in the line to the time you get the box office. And that's an overall plan. We want to make entry into matches as seamless as possible, as quick as possible, as easy as possible, and to make it a true West Indian experience when people come to watch matches. It's not only about getting a ticket and getting a seat and watching the match. It's a lot more than that in global sport nowadays. It's an experience, and we need to make it a comfortable, seamless, and wonderful experience. And then we want people to be entertained when you see the game on the field. Sport is part of the business of entertainment. You see that in every way you go. I'm sure everybody on this call has been to an international event or a major club sporting event somewhere in the world. And you know, you remember the experience. Your team might not win. Your team might lose 4-0, but you remember the experience of that seamless transition. Stamp your ticket at the gate, go through the turnstile, into the stand, take your seat, 90 minutes of entertainment, had a great day, and back to your point of origin. So we are looking at international best practice, and we want to ensure that people who come to ICC Men's T20 World Cup remember the experience as well as remember the entertainment.
I see. Dr. Ford?
Yes. I want to get back to this 15, and I guess this is for the cricketers like Philo and Tony and George. Looking at the 15, I believe that for most matches, the West Indies will need two spin bowlers. And the thing is, if they play Hussain and Moti, they'll really have five batsmen, or they'll have to play one of them and play Chase on most of the surfaces, especially where they'll be. Do you think that just having five batsmen and the all-rounders will suffice? Because it will turn out to be a choice in the long run, I believe, in that regard, because I don't think we can play without the spinners. I guess I can ask Tony that first and then Philo.
Yeah, listen, I think that, you know, Ruston Chase is going to play a pivotal role in us going further in the World Cup and even winning the World Cup. I think that obviously he's off break, and you have Akil Hussain or Gurdakesh Moti. I agree with you. I think that we have to play two spin bowlers all of the times, really, most of the times, depending on the opposition. But Ruston Chase, to me, is the glue. He's a utility batsman of the West Indies side, and he's a glue of the West Indies side primarily because he He plays well in pressure situations, and he's a critical thinker, very intelligent player. So he can bat from number three to number six, in my opinion, to solidify the middle. And in addition to that, his off breaks. You know, I think that people don't talk about Ruston Chase enough because he is perhaps an enigma. He's quiet. He's unassuming. But if you look at 2021, he was a player of the CPL. He was brilliant in all aspects of the game, including fielding. So I think that Ruston Chase is the main man there. But I agree with you. Most times we'll have to play two spinners. And because he's an off-break bowler, he goes away from the left-handed batsman. And the other two who primarily are away from the right-handers. So I think that Ruston Chase has to play.
Just before we go to you, Philo, or to George, quickly let's try and sneak two calls in. Can we? Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hi, good night. Mason, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Me? I am so tired. Yeah, I'm hot. Let me be very quick. Just one or two things I don't know. I'm seeking in some help from the general public on how the three clubs are choosing as practice grounds for teams for the ICC World Cup.
Right.
Right? And then also, too, I'm wondering, what kind of plans the Barbados Cricket Association have for upgrading the other clubs, the other grounds, not just clubs, maybe case maybe or whatnot?
Okay. Well, that's a question for...
General public and BCC fully aware of the history of the Barbados Cricket Club.
But that's a question for Calvin Hope, because I'm just beginning to wonder if some of these practice facilities are going to be used at all.
And then... the history of all these clubs, right? And it strikes me, Windward Cricket Club, right?
Right.
I know a certain age of Bajan range, right? Will never enter their grounds. Will never enter their great gates, right? Because history, well, lots of these things in Barbados, history plays a big part, and lots of these things. But really, I'm listening. I would like to know how, right? How they select these clubs, excuse me, for the practice session.
That's a very good question.
I would like to know the criteria that they use for it, excuse me.
And certainly that would not have been an ICC call, Calvin.
That's where you're wrong, Andrew. ICC came in to Barbados. You bid for matches that you think you can host in the country. Based on your bid, right? And all the other venues. ICC has an inspection panel, want to call it that. And they'll come into the country and be taken to all the major grounds that BCA had allocated first-class matches.
Right.
And those within close proximity to the hotel sector.
Anywhere in Barbados, close proximity to the hotel
and
sector.
And some outside.
Sorry?
Yeah, they call us.
Anywhere in Barbados, it's very close to any of the hotels. Barbados is so small.
No. I said and beyond.
Right.
Okay.
And beyond. All the major clubs that BCA would have forced first class match.
I see.
And they thought the three that they selected were best for upgrading or the BCA did not go out there and select anything. BCA select Arlton, Windward, North Stars, and for first class matches several years. Even at one time, North Stars was there and West Indies Great Reaper protested about North Stars saying the dressing rules were so.
North Stars
took the initiative that expand the draft through the same thing was Arlington. mm-hmm. right? Question. The same thing at Windward mm-hmm. and they upgraded the facilities. Mm-hmm. Your other question, sir, the BCA does not favor any cricket club Barbados over the other. Look at things in a fair way, mm-hmm. right? You mentioned about the history. All of us are aware of the history, right?
We all have
Barbados history. Has changed. We all have history. Mm-hmm. There are some clubs which were very important to Barbados mm-hmm. and its cricket, and there are no more.
Right.
Right. right. And
I'm
these things have been done in a very transparent way.
Yes, caller.
Yeah, a moment.
I
just want to add two more things and ask two more questions.
Yeah, quickly.
The government of Barbados, could the government of Barbados have a say in this whole issue case maybe? And how much was spent on those
three government of Barbados have a say in what?
If the government of Barbados could have a say about what was to be done about the selection process.
Right.
Right? And how much was...
And what's the last question, caller?
How much was spent on those three grounds?
Oh, that's a good one. But let's start with that one. Thanks for your contribution. Time is tight. We just got another 10 minutes. Calvin, can you tell us quickly in terms of money spent on these grounds?
The money spent on those, as being spent on those grounds?
Yes.
Would be monies of the ICC.
Okay.
Not monies of the BCA or the government, right? And I don't know the exact cost.
Right.
Those grounds. As you would aware, even with the 3WIs of 2007, was basically overhauled.
Right, I see.
Right. And there is certain criteria for hosting the matches.
Right.
These are things that cannot be, that must be done.
Mm.
So the ICC would play its role because they require these things to be in place.
Right.
For the, as part of delivery of its event.
Right. Fair enough. Sure. All right.
And as far as I am aware, right, the governments of Barbados, historically, and this one, has never got involved in the day-to-day operations of cricket.
Right.
What governments do is facilitate situation by having ground through the sports council and build pavilions for the people of Barbados to enjoy in support of
434-1790. Yes,
and you did mention one other thing. If the BCA has plans for development, the BCA would love to have a capital works program that every cricket ground can be rehabilitated and fixed and have proper drainage system, but we don't have the money. Most clubs, when you see them get repaired, the BCA is providing some assistance to them to repair them.
Wonderful.
I'm sure that Windward would have had St. Catherine,
right.
Carlton, Empire Club, all other things, North Stars at some point. So throughout the system, from second division clubs, intermediate clubs, straight through the system, the BCA has always.
Philip,
private clubs in Barbados. There are private clubs right. here.
Right. Okay. Let's take a call. Hello. Welcome.
Welcome. Good night. Happy New Year.
Ooh.
First time I got in for the year. You never let me in. Anyhow, I'm going to say something now that's going to make primetime news tomorrow.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not a fan. Yeah. I'll tell you quick. I'm not a fan of those guys that think the West Indies hate. If the West Indies really looking at the IPL and think, the first name should be on that list is Sonny Narine. And I'll tell you why. Narine is bowling better,
right.
and he's batting, and he's the most informed player right now. Of all the West Indies, the team that pick, and before, the first name should be on that list is Sonny Narine.
Sir, he's retired.
He's a child will open my back.
He's retired, sir.
The man is retired.
I know he retired, sir. But you know,
retired for international cricket.
And he come back and play in the last World Cup.
Yeah, but he's
I understand
but,
that.
But Colley's retired from international cricket.
He said he doesn't want to come back.
I agree. But you guys can ask him to come back.
Oh.
Because the guy was retired and played the last one. Bravo never retired.
He said he doesn't want to come back. He said he's going to watch the World Cup from home.
Yes.
Andrew.
Yes.
Andrew.
Yes, Philo.
I don't know if people follow the IPL, but Hetmyer didn't play today because apparently he has an injury.
Mm.
Okay, and these are things that we need to discuss. I don't know why people waste their time on Narine. Narine has played 16 years in the IPL. He scored his first 100 in his 16th year.
Mm.
I don't understand how we look at cricket in the Caribbean because somebody is doing something we feel they should play for West Indies. He doesn't want to play. He's retired from international cricket. Mm. Let the man enjoy his cricket.
Mm.
And let us focus on what is in front of us. There's a World Cup, a T20 World Cup, the biggest World Cup in the history of it. It's played in the USA and the Caribbean. West Indies have announced a 50-man squad. And we should be focusing on that squad.
Right.
A lot of our players are not playing in the IPL, not playing for the franchise in the IPL. Hetmyer has picked up an injury, and I want to know from Cricket West Indies, the guys who are not playing, will they be coming home early?
Mm.
That is what I want to know. Because if we want to win, we have to prepare a squad. We can't prepare six when the squad is 15.
Philip,
if you're baking a cake, Andrew, you put no flour, it will not be a cake.
I agree with you, Philo. Philip, do you know if there's going to be... I mean, when we were here last week, we talked about it. But in terms of getting...
There's a camp in Antigua.
Start and when? Is it May 10th or 11th? What time?
Andrew, you appreciate... I'm on operations and the tournament. I'm not in the dressing room anymore.
Mm.
I left the dressing room a few years back. But I can ask of CWA what the plans are, and I can see how there are the plans. But Darren and most honourable, Darren.
Did
announce that there will be a camp in Antigua. And following that, there will be the matches against
South Africa. There's a camp in Antigua, but I want to know if the players who are IPL who are not playing, are they coming home?
As I said, Philo, I am not in a position to answer that question. Okay. I am
right,
person,
fair enough.
Having been part of the dressing room and being part of the general cup team, I can ask the question and see what any plans that can be made public.
We got
right, and if so, when will Cricket West Indies?
We just got another minute left on the show, and I'm going to spend it with you, Calvin Hope. You're acting president until when? Can you tell the public? I haven't seen you sent out press releases, but I've never seen a press release indicating that you are the acting president of the Barbados Cricket Association.
Because there is no position called acting president.
Okay,
but the rules say.
Yes.
Is that if the president is unavailable to perform his duties, the prime minister, the vice president, will assume those duties and perform those duties.
Mm.
And so I am the vice president performing the duties of the president until such time that he assumes his office.
Do you have an idea when he's due back,
and
Calvin?
Not at this time, not definitively, but you know, I saw him on last Friday.
Right.
He's looking all right.
Right.
He's looking pretty good.
Right.
You know, I don't know if he might need some more time off or not, but that is entirely up to him.
All right. Well, thanks.
NBC is ready to receive him when he's ready to come back.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Calvin, for coming through and facing those bouncers. You've still got a couple of other things to look at as well. Understand that the coaches are not very happy and the ground staff not very happy because their time has been cut, the hours have been cut, and there's also two shifts created. I've done my homework, so you got some more work to do, Calvin. Thanks very much indeed for coming and talking to us, Mason and guests. It's not about PR. Let me say to you that truth is always something that we will go with here. It's not always popular, but it's always correct. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.